Amen. Well, friends, last week you maybe noticed this and maybe you didn't, but last week we kicked off our short 2-week stewardship season with a message that was a little bit different than we normally talk about in this time of year. Normally, the passage I preach on is tithing or giving, but as I was considering this year, I felt God really directed me in this different way in which we talked about a passage from Matthew 23 that focused on, more than anything, focused on the hypocrisy that the Pharisees were engaging in because they were so focused on their appearances. They were so focused on their outwardness that they had neglected the things of God. They had neglected what God really cares about, which is justice and mercy, and all the things that we know that God cares about, but yet sometimes we forget when we get caught up in our pursuit of our own devices. And so last week was a reminder that that same warning that Jesus gave to those Pharisees all those years ago could very easily extend to us. That if we are just going through the motions of being faithful, but our hearts aren't in it, then we are as in much trouble as those Pharisees, where things might look beautiful on the outside, but we are dead on the inside. And is that what God wants from us? Does God just want our actions, or does God want more? Like last week, today's message, this passage we're going to be looking at from Matthew 24, doesn't necessarily direct us towards stewardship, although it could be applied to anything, because at the core of this passage we're going to be looking at today, again, is faithfulness. What does it mean to really go in for the Lord? What does it mean to live for God? And so it has everything to do with stewardship because that's what stewardship is about as well. Though it doesn't have a specific reference to giving or tithing, it certainly helps us understand what God expects of us. And then we give out of that expectation. So let us now turn to our gospel reading for this morning. I invite you, if you are able and willing, to stand with me in body or in spirit as we now come to our gospel reading for today from Matthew 24, verses 45 through 51. Let us now encounter the word of the Lord. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, once more we come to a passage like this where we see the good and the bad. We see your calling and we see our unfaithfulness. We see what you say about humanity and then we see how we ignore it. And so God, we need your help today to run through this text together, to journey, to come together as your people, to not only hear what is being said, but to also follow through. Show us, Lord, your way so that we might be faithful. And we pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, friends, this is another one of those passages that you hear the first part and you're not so sure about the second part. We hear that first and we say, hey, great, there's a servant, good things are happening, and then this servant turns around, does their own thing, and the master comes back, and and there is a severe consequence. And sometimes we say to ourselves, is it going to be really that severe? Is it really that bad? And Jesus is telling us that if we're not careful, then yes. If we're not aware, then yes. If we're out there saying that we serve Jesus, that we are Christians, that we are following him, but our actions are not that way, then yeah, we're in trouble, even if we don't know it. Hypocrisy is one of the things I think that really plagues us. And when we are unaware of our hypocrisy, it's even worse. What we say and what we do, when they don't match up, something is amiss. And what's amiss is what's going on in here. Now this passage starts off really great. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? It's a great question. It's a great thing to ponder on. What does it mean to be considered faithful and wise? At the end of time, when all of our time comes and we all have to approach the throne of God, aren't these the words we want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Could anything be better than that? I'd say no. But sometimes we're not so sure because of our actions. Is being wealthy or good-looking or famous or comfortable or respected better than that? Sometimes we are tempted to say, well, yeah. But according to God's standards, no. Not in the least. The issue is that we can get so focused on temporary things that we fail to consider the things that actually last, that God actually cares about. Earthly treasures, they come and go, don't they? But what about heavenly treasures? Are we investing in heavenly treasure in our own lives? What does it take to be considered faithful and wise? Well, as Jesus sees it, it's fairly simple. He gives us this great example in this passage to showcase what faithful and wise look like, and then to remove any confusion, compares those actions to actions that are exactly the opposite. Now, simply put, it is just doing what God has called us to do every day, to listen to his voice and to follow suit. And they aren't the huge tasks that take planning or energy or resources. These are the things that we are called to do that might seem mundane, might seem simple, but that carry with it the weight of the kingdom. This faithful and wise servant was given a specific daily task: feed the other servants. It was really that simple. But think about how important that was. Feed the other servants, and you'll be considered faithful and wise. Don't feed the other servants. Just serve yourself. Get drunk with drunkards. That's when the trouble comes. Jesus isn't telling us that we are to just feed one another and that's it. Call a day. He's just using that as an example of something that is daily, that is simple, that occurs, that we can do, and whether we do them or not is about our relationship with God. What kind of things, we might ask? Well, honestly, it could be anything. But it's when we do it not for ourselves, but for God and his kingdom. From the moment we wake up, all throughout the day, to the moment we go to bed, and all through the night, every one of us has opportunities to be faithful and wise with our lives. So no matter what job we have or if we're retired, no matter how young we are or old, no matter where we live or visit, no matter where we spend our money or time, everywhere, every time, everyone, we can choose to use our resources, our time, our energy to serve God every single day. And it's not about even a particular task. It's really about a lifestyle, a mindset that is oriented towards being faithful to God. So let's say you're stuck in a traffic jam. You can either choose to get really angry and upset about it and serve yourself, or you can be thankful to God that you are warm and dry in your car, that you have a place to go to, that you have a moment to pray. Let's say you're making dinner or lunch or breakfast. It's an opportunity to serve somebody with love. Going to a doctor's appointment, you can pray for others who are waiting in that waiting room because you can see the concern. See somebody who's struggling? Take a moment to care for them. See something that needs doing? and you do it. Here's somebody who needs prayer. You pray. It's about seeing our lives and the lives of others through God's eyes, so that no matter what we're doing it for God. Jesus is talking here about an actions that flow out of our love for him. Do we actually see ourselves as servants of God, or do we belong to ourselves? Now, for the longest time, when I thought about being faithful to God, I thought, hey, that's the big things. But then the other parts of life, hey, that belonged to me. So as long as I was doing the big stuff, and the small stuff didn't really matter that much. And so I pursued going on mission trips and serving at homeless shelters and attending retreats and praying for hours. And I would prepare for those moments. And they would take a lot of resources and time and effort. And I thought, man, things are good. But then, in all those times in between, I would not spend much time with God. I would prepare for a retreat, but then not really think much about God or how my life would be oriented around him leading up to the retreat or afterwards. I would view the mundane parts of my life as just that, not very important. But you know what? That's not how God sees it. Jesus himself, in Luke 16, says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." And sometimes we think that's about stuff, money, but it's about our lives that Jesus is talking about. The word here that we translate in English as little literally means the lesser things, the things that we don't think as very important. But God sees them as important because those little things are part of building up a lifestyle that lead to bigger things. So in fact, the lesser things actually matter a lot. It's like telling a lie, as a negative example. Once you start telling a lie and you get caught in it, you either lean into the lie and you have to keep telling it and it gets bigger and bigger, or you say, nope, I'm not going to do that, and you back off. And you have to recognize, you have to make a different choice. To be considered, to be faithful and wise, it's about fidelity to God, in which being the kind of servant God wants us to be is our daily calling. And any task, therefore, can be used to serve that calling. So if last week the question from the text was, what does God want? This week the question is, how does God want us to live? And of course, it's going to be different for everyone. It's going to be different for every one of us because we have all different contexts. It's going to be different for every church as well. All of us have our regular tasks that we have to do, right? Get up, get dressed, do the laundry, make meals, go to work, come home, work in the garden, clean out things. We all have those lists of tasks to do. But what about our kingdom tasks? What are we doing for God on a daily basis? Do we think that all belongs to us, or does it all belong to God, even the most mundane things? Just like if we stop getting dressed or stop cleaning ourselves or stop doing the daily tasks around a house, if we stop doing the kingdom tasks, there's going to be a price to pay. Our unfaithfulness has a cost. And as Jesus shows us, it's not pretty. Our infidelity is always a serious thing, isn't it? Now, Jesus' message might sound rather harsh, but Jesus always tells the truth. If we fail to serve God, if we just seek to serve ourselves, then we're going to be on the outside looking in. We'll be considered to be hypocrites. We will be cast out in the darkness. Is that what we really want? But here's the issue. The spirit of disaster says, I've got plenty of time. I have plenty of time to get my act together. We can fool ourselves into thinking, today's for me, and tomorrow's for God. But you know what, that kind of thinking, tomorrow never comes. That kind of thinking never leads to faithfulness. Our calling is always about today. Because what if we really understood that tomorrow doesn't actually exist? We'll never get to tomorrow. It's always today. What if we knew that Jesus were coming back today? Would we handle our lives any different? Would we serve any different? Would we give any differently? We must learn to reconcile our lives as servants with God's call. The good news is that God puts us in situations that allows us to serve and to give, but do we? or we just go about our days and think only about God when we see fit. And so, like Carlene is issuing this joy challenge, I'm going to issue a challenge as well. We all know the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here's the challenge. What if you took up just one of those fruit of the Spirit? For example, like patience. And every day in 2024, you ask God to help you become more patient with everything, with everyone, at all times. Or another fruit of the Spirit, maybe joy, maybe kindness, maybe self-control. That would be a great way to bring God into your life on a regular basis so that you could be more faithful. What if every time you were in line or were having to wait for somebody or somebody was taking longer than expected, instead of getting frustrated or angry, you saw it as an opportunity to be more patient? Every day you could wake up expecting God to help you be more patient. Every day you could encounter scripture that talks about being patient. Don't you think that if you lived like that, thought like that, asked God to help you like that, that would help to become more faithful and wise? And then here's the second challenge. What if when we thought about all of our interactions at church, we first thought about God, about how God is asking us to live and to interact here with this community? Absolutely, today is Commitment Sunday. It is the day that is set aside to hand in our financial pledges for the year. Right after the message ends, you'll be asked to come forward with those pledges, which absolutely helps the church, pays bills and salaries, and helps us to do ministry. But here's what we have to understand. Handing a pledge in isn't synonymous with being faithful or wise. Just because we tithe doesn't mean we've brought God in the mix. In order to do that, we look first to God. We look first to be faithful with our prayers, with our faith. We say, how, God, do you want me to act? And then we give, then we serve, then we live out of that question. What matters, friends, is faithfulness. Some people have more time, more energy, more money, more wisdom, more experience. But all of us have the ability and opportunity be faithful and wise according to what God calls us to do. And that's good news, friends. So if you want to be considered among the faithful and wise, it begins. God, how do you want me to live? And then we live in the way that God calls. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for you, your calling, your love for us, your grace, your goodness. As we come to this moment that you have given us as a gift, we are thankful for the opportunities once more to serve you because of how you have first served us, to love you because you have first loved us. Thank you for your love, God, your goodness, the faithfulness you have shown us. We now seek you as your people. We pray this in your name.